good afternoon, everybody, and thank you for the invitation to have a chat about this subject. I was talking to Michael before we started. We both said that there's such a topic, such as content rich, that we could write a book about it. And I think when I started to think about it, I started to write about all the issues that we could talk about. A new world. I remember 10 years ago, I was facing a new world. We just formed Big Super as a company to take over the responsibility for the leadership of a former public sector fund, Big Super. We were small. We had about 50 staff. The fund had 755 million. We had 113,000 members. I sat down with my chief financial officer and I said, I don't think we're going to actually have enough income to make this work. We had a huge gap between fee income and expenditure. So we said that we really needed to grow. But we realised we didn't have enough money to really advertise or really do what other firms were doing. So we need to think differently, think outside the square. So at that point, we started to think about the world, started to think about the challenges facing companies and industries in a particular investment market, and we started to think about sustainability. So we knuckled down, we innovated, and the fund grew quite dramatically in the first year. We got up to $1 billion. We're pretty excited about that. And I remember at that time, a competitor up said, you're too small. He said, you're like a vineyard in a drought. You're great, but you're wiggling on the vine. Well, now, 10 years later, we're about $6 billion. We've got double the number of members, three times the number of staff, we're operating out of five different offices. And I was reflecting on those comments made by that competitor to us. And I was recalling things that Winston Churchill had said in the Second World War, and I thought to myself, some great, some fine, and we really have grown that period of time. But I think as we go now forward into life beyond the GFC, we need to think about where we're going to grow following business as usual. Are we going to create jobs not following business as usual? Or are we going to find a new utopia, which is a steady state economy, where we do grow jobs, but we actually don't grow the economy in terms of consumption? So what I'd like to do is really reframe the discussion and talk a little bit about life beyond the GFC, but looking out from the prospect of improving the quality of life of all people on the planet, ourselves in the developed world, and also our neighbours in the less developed world. If you think about it, our primary purpose every day in going to work is really to provide goods and services to improve the quality of life. And so if we look at the possibilities after this GFC of what life might be like, they come up with sort of three different economic scenarios. The first one is, will we have growth through business as usual? If you look at the press and all the commentary around the place, I think most of us are seeing we are looking at getting back to growth as business as usual. The second possible scenario is, will we see growth, but sustainable growth, through infrastructure and business redesign, massive increase in infrastructure spend? Or the third one, will we be able to see a way forward to a transition to a sustainable economy, which doesn't rely on consumption growth, but does create jobs? So, look at the first one, growth through business as usual. This one really is stimulating consumption growth back to where it was, if we could, in the past, and thereby creating jobs. And when I look at what's happening around the world, and I talk to my colleagues in super funds, we in super funds assume this is going to happen. The financial media assumes this. Employer associations that I'm involved with definitely assume this is going to happen. High carbon intensive industry kind of assume this, that they demand that this happens. And our federal government, with the stimulus package that's put in place over the last 12 months, does rely upon return to business as usual and high consumption expenditure. And as we've seen, this has been achieved by governments cutting interest rates and taxes around the world, making direct payments to people that they have here in Australia. Australia and also increasing public infrastructure spending. It's not actually increasing at the moment, it's actually talking about increasing it, because SnowPack seems to me a shovel-ready infrastructure project. I mean, most of them take a long time to get on the ground. And if you do try and stimulate infrastructure spending, we'll see what's happening around the community now, where we're having a lot of money going into things like school buildings, where they haven't had to spend a lot of time So with scenario one, which is growth through business as usual, what would we expect to see? And I think Michael's gone through this pretty well up to date, in the sense that we will see growth pick up. I mean, there's no doubt about that, but I think it will be slow because we're coming off the back of what Michael referred to as the crisis has gone through in terms of economic issues in the last few years. And there's no doubt in my mind that equity markets will rebuild in value. We're seeing that happening now in the emerging markets. And we'll see that happen over time in the more developed markets. I don't think we'll see any time soon getting back to what we were at, about the end of 2007, but certainly that won't be built. We'll see unemployment increase. I mean, a history of recession is probably 12 to 15 months after it reached the low point, unemployment continues. Then it starts to flatten out, then we start to get more employment growth. I think we'll see that. Financial regulation. Being tightened abroad. I mean, it's interesting when you look at financial regulation. In my view, it's not so much about regulation, it's about what the regulators do. And if you look at what happened in the UK, what happened in the US, if people were alert, then you could have avoided a lot of issues that we have seen both in the UK and also in the US. As you know, financial markets need rules. If those rules are broken, doesn't work. It's inevitable that institutions will try and obey the rules. You see that everywhere. So we really do need both the regulation and the people who are actually looking after the supervision of regulations to do a very good job. Appetite for risk, I think we'll see that reappear with return to growth as business as usual. We'll still see short-term thinking prevail because the market's rewarded on short-term thinking. No doubt it will continue and go forward. In terms of wealth creation, we still see that reappearing for relatively soon. We think about the world, just over 6 billion people, 2 billion people living on less than $2 US a day. I don't think that's going to be a future, but certainly the people who are already relatively wealthy will continue to do that as growth We'll see the continuation of ecosystem destruction. There's no doubt in my mind that probably over the last 50 years or so, we've seen about 50% reduction in the ability of the planet to provide the services that we all need to carry out our businesses. Just look at water availability. There was a report that came out this week very recently by, I think it was City Group Global Market. Not new work, but they looked at water. They titled it The Risk of Water Bankruptcy Around the World. We know that in Africa, I mean, I think they're stuck. There won't be enough water in Africa. If we look at Indonesia, we look at China, we look at Australia in particular, in the commercial centres around Melbourne, Sydney and Queensland. I mean, talk to most people about water supply in Melbourne from our traditional sources. Most people will say, it's not a problem, it's going to rain again. But it's not going to rain again. There's still loads of water. There's no doubt that we're not going to have water from the traditional sources of supply in Melbourne, probably within about 24 months. Hopefully we'll have the desal plant still completed. Hopefully we'll have the pipeline coming down to the north by that point. But given the way that the rainfall has been happening over the last decade, we're outside our history. Rainfall patterns, there's no doubt that we really have a serious problem here. If we don't have water supply, it's basically our ability to really function as we have in the past, it's a real risk. Super funds, I believe, Michael, will continue to invest in equity. You just can't change the mindset that's out there already. And if you look back over the past, if we look at the growth in earnings per share in companies in the US, companies in Australia, we're looking at about 7%, 7.2% around. That will continue after we get back into a recovery situation under business as usual. Super funds will continue to invest. I I think the common income shortfall risk will increase. I mean, people are living longer. I mean, it's based on conceivable contribution amounts. We all hope that that gets overturned. It doesn't actually happen, but I think that in the future, if it's overturned now, it will come back on. Lots of confidence for people in Middle Australia. We know, talking to our members and potential members, that there's concern about putting money into super that's been tied up for so long. Comfort has been tied up to around about age 67. That's really worry people, certainly those people over age 45. They're concerned about that, but I just think the confidence in super starts to wane a bit when that sort of demographic is only age 45. And I have no doubt that if we go back to business as usual, we're going to see collapse of the economy due to ecological and social degradation. Happy later on to talk about some of the work that we're doing, investing in water and rural land up in the north. We're seeing firsthand what the real issues are associated with thinking about agriculture as a business as usual issue and what we have to do to adapt to make money out of agriculture in the future. The second scenario that that I'd like to look at is what if we still had consumption growth, but it was more sustainable? And we did that through business redesign and the way in which we go about infrastructure. It would stimulate smoke consumption and would still create jobs. We're starting to see that in the language of governments around the world, particularly in the US, where they're talking about spending some more money in their stimulus packages on renewable energy and efficiency and so on. But still, it's mostly coal, so not really a lot of money going into those types of the better companies around the world in each industry sector were leading in sustainability research. We had an opportunity recently to put this to the test. We looked at whether we could invest in major companies around the world in each industry sector and achieve the same return as the benchmark, but achieve 50% or more less carbon emissions. So we put together a couple of competing processes with a number of fund managers working with a research firm to come up with a product. And we're able to do that. We've come up with an ability to invest in around about 700 companies around the world in every industry sector with a tracking error very close to the index by having 58% less carbon emissions. I mean, it is possible to try and find those companies which are still doing well but have lower emissions. So I think that this scenario could be achieved. Again, governments cutting interest rates, taxes, the normal stuff, governments making direct payments to people. But increases in public infrastructure getting directed more towards sustainable infrastructure. So looking at renewable energy, energy efficiency, public transport, and what we would call ecosystem protection. I think it could also be achieved by establishing prices for markets for environmental services. I mean, we've had a lot of talk about that around the world. There really isn't any markets now established where participants can be involved. There's private markets, but not really public markets in environmental services. By that I mean, take for example, if you owned a former wetland which has been drained for agricultural output, it therefore has lost its natural flood protection ability, you return it back to a flood protection asset and receive payment from the users from that service from that agricultural area for that protection. So that would be an example of a pretty simple ecosystem service that people like us could invest in and assist them. I think also this will be achieved by transformational change, integrating sustainability principles into not only business growth strategies but also into the design of So with that scenario, we still have growth picking up, still be slow, we still have every market rebuilding in days, we still have unemployment increasing, flattening and then decreasing, we still see the financial regulation tightened abroad, I think you also will see the actual position tightened as well, see risk appearing in terms of appetite, and we'll probably see the emergence of long-term thinking, where companies are building more into their investment processes and seeking support systems, sustainability principles. I think we'll also see environmental damage costs being internalised in company accounts if you follow this particular that I mean is obviously the topical one about carbon emissions, also about water extraction, also other environmental damage costs, including waste and other emissions being internalised in something else. Obviously, under this scenario, that we have ecosystems restoration starting, I mean, it's to me the most critical element that we are just not addressing. We're just treating the environment as some sort of externality, not really understanding that without the services of the environment, in terms of water, in terms of safe climate, in terms of fertile soils, in terms of healthy oceans, fish stocks, etc., then we don't really have much of the future. I still see super funds investing in equities like that, people investing in ecosystem services protection as well. If the markets are there, super funds will follow. Foreign income shortfall risk, still the same, people living longer. But I think that confidence in people would perhaps return if they felt that it's more generally focused on the long term and not on the short term. The risk of rapid collapse of economies due to ecological and social degradation would be lessened. And I think student funds owners would be more inclined to engage in, with companies on that. Final one, transition to a sustainable economy, which I don't think will happen anytime soon. But really, you know, how could you imagine stimulating job creation without growth and increasing consumption? I mean, there's a lot of laboratories around the world trying to think about that. How would you do that? How would we nibble away from consumption to still create jobs? If we could do that, we'd have a steady state economy based on ecological principles. We would have to have pretty effective policies for sustainable economy, meaning internalising all of those external costs in the operations, and steady for long-term action, effective ownership practices by companies. It would involve significant funding of public infrastructure, sustainable technologies, and ecosystem protection and restoration. And it'll be achieved by a radical redesign of their macroeconomic model. For me, it's a very daunting task and one that I think too much about it is really precious. So with this model, we would see growth, but it wouldn't pick up very much. Equity markets would reprice. We still have the same pattern for unemployment. We certainly have like a regulation tightening, we have longer term thinking emerging. We have wealth creation replaced with a new understanding of personal well-being, and we still see super funds investing in equity, but more infrastructure, more ecosystem services. And I think confidence will be restored in but we will still see private income shortfall risks. And we've been saying to our members and potential members for a long time now that the best action to follow to protect yourself against shortfall risk is to keep working. But of course, some of our members can't keep working. They're involved in more manual labour. They might be involved in care of service. They get paid 60 and they're not able to keep going. But for those who are not working in those environments, you can keep working and there's an opportunity there to get around the shortfall risk. Other members actually put their money in cash, so rather than going into annuity for 20 years, people put their money in cash. Now, of course, if it comes now, the return on cash over 20 years is better than return on equity. I mean, a terrible situation to be in. How on earth do we move forward if that continues? But certainly, someone actually said to me, you know, I didn't like putting all the money in cash 20 years ago, so I'd have to worry about what's happening in the market. I just think that we have to rethink what a reasonable level of economic income might well be as we go forward over this more sustainable global economy. In summary, I don't think that the third one is going to be achieved any time real soon. But when you do the maths about what's happened, say, since the Beatles produced the population back then was about 3 billion in the world, now it's about 6.3, 6.4 will be entering the 90s. I think the world economy has probably increased 4 to 5-fold in that period of time. The threat to the ability of the planet to exist and provide us with those essential services has certainly been threatened. So here we have an opportunity after this global financial crisis to really reshift how we might go forward. What I'm fearful of is that we're just going to do business as usual. We're going to be excited about growth when it returns. It will be important to create jobs, which is absolutely crucial. It will actually increase returns to my members, which is great, but we'll still have excesses and services of destruction, which means that the potential for us to have a sustained ability to reduce the wealth for our members, I think is really significant. This last slide is actually not the danger-free. Up at the River Murray without the crocodiles. So it's a great place to go on the business. One of the things that we're doing now is because we're investing in water and land up in the north, and what we've discovered is there's an enormous appetite for both small farmers, corporate farmers, urban authorities, water, urban, and people from the environment for leaf products. In the past, there's been no leaf products available, but the real opportunity to actually get water into a better economic use through the leaf products. And the way we sort of got to that stage in our thinking was just thinking about what the sustainability challenges that we're facing the agricultural sector, thinking about our total portfolio, trying to get a bit more diversification, and working out how we can actually invest in that space. So I think that thinking about sustainability provides real opportunities to really think about getting the returns that one would like for the members, also making contributions to sustainable development. So thanks for the opportunity for sharing that.